you're in my life.
I'm so glad you're in my life.
I'm so glad you came to save
to
us.
Save us.
You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Lord, I lift your name on high.
Lord, I love to sing your praises.
Lord, I love to sing your praises.
I'm so glad you're in my life.
I'm so glad you're in my life.
I'm so glad you came to save us.
Save us.
You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on. You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Well, good morning, everyone. Please have a seat. You know, we were going to be in the campground today, but even though it's a beautiful day, there was a lot of rain, and so there was a lot of mud and waterlogging of the ground in the campground. So Tom's like, yay, I'm glad we didn't. So it's a beautiful day out, though. So we have a little fire here for you, if you see here. Does it have a fan, or did the fan not work? Oh, it's kind of fluttering. So don't get too close. I see some coals are on the ground, so hopefully we don't catch fire here. Yeah, we'll have the hot dogs and the s'mores ready. It was a good weekend, though, despite the waterlogging. Many good conversations had around the fire. Kids got to swim some. We had nice times together. So definitely, if you aren't a camper, you can still come to these things and be part of it and then go home. So, but it is fun to stay. I noticed that, except when the rain comes in your tent. Our tent, a Friday night, 2 a.m., suddenly it was raining inside the tent, so we decided to go home because my tent was not as waterproof as I thought. You know, you got to spray that 3M stuff every year, not every 10 years. Let's focus in, though. We're here. You made it. You're here. I'm here. With the people of God, we're worshiping together. And we've been working our way through Psalm 119, and we're on Psalm 119, 129 through 136. I encourage you just to listen, see where God's word is mentioned and what effect it has on the psalmist. Your testimonies are wonderful, therefore my soul keeps them. The unfolding of your word gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pant, because I long for your commandments. Turn to me and be gracious to me, as is your way with those who love your name. Keep steady my steps according to your promise, and let no iniquity get dominion over me. Redeem me from man's oppression, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. My eyes shed streams of tears, because people do not keep your law. So we're going to be worshiping this morning. We're going to be singing about six songs. Then we'll have an offering. And then there's going to be announcements and then a sermon. In between those songs, you might want to sing out a praise or a prayer. If you have a testimony you'd like to share, come talk to me. We'll try to fit that in. And feel free to use your body in worship here. We're not restrictive in that. You can raise your hands. I think we have flags in the back if you like a flag. Just don't hit anybody's head with it. Just be careful with those things, you know. But, you know, feel free to express yourself. If you look throughout Scripture, you'll see that the people fall on their face flat. They dance. They praise. So it's okay to do that. You're not out of line. Just just be aware of those around you. That's what I would say. So let's worship and praise the Lord together.
This camp feel that we're all together as a family, worshiping in together. And he reminded me this morning that we don't have communion. And we usually have communion Sunday. So, not that communion's, you know, an obstacle, but it is if you want to come on the floor, because it's hard to flow around with us standing out here. So I was very grateful that he brought that to mind, that we could come down and be together in that campfire feel like we had on Friday. So I'm really excited to worship down here because that's something that speaks to me. But this is the next song we're doing is He Has Made Me Glad. And the funny thing is I'm thinking most of these songs are kind of camp feel. So, yeah, imagine we're out there, I guess. But next one, think about that. We are so glad that we get to enter into his gates, that we are welcome, that we are his children. Just think of that while we sing this song. So let's worship. Hold on 1 second. Gotta do that. Okay.
I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad, glad, glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. Say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. Enter his courts with praise. I will say this is a day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. A couple of dancing songs. As I always call the Jewish songs, because that's what they remind me of. Yeah. We did them Friday night, and they were fun. And Debbie was dancing around having a great old time.
Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me, for me, for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. He will give his aid. Charge over me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me, for me, for me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me.
Jehovah Jireh.
Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me, for me, for me.
is sufficient for me. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. He will give his angels charge over me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me. I will celebrate, sing unto the Lord. I will sing to him a new song. I will celebrate, sing unto the Lord. I will sing to him a new song. I will praise him. I will sing to him a new song. Sing to him a new song. Hallelujah. Alleluia. 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 I will praise him. I will praise him. I will sing to him a new song. I will praise him. I will sing to him a new song. Alleluia. 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 All right, Ali, a little faster. Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia.
Devotional. It's so good. Let's see. Where is it? Song of Solomon's. You are all fair, my love. There is no spot in you. And then he goes on to show that there really is a spot in us. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. And by the Spirit. Splendor which I bestowed upon you, says the Lord. That's why.
blessing and honor, glory and power be unto the Ancient of Days. From every nation, all of creation, bow before the Ancient of Days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at his throne and worship you. Be exalted, O God, and your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days. Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto the Ancient of Days. From every nation, all of creation, bow before the Ancient of Days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne and worship you. Be exalted, O God, and your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days. Your kingdom shall reign over all the earth. Sing unto the Ancient of Days. For none can compare to your matchless worth. Sing unto the Ancient of Days. Your kingdom shall reign over all the earth. Sing unto the Ancient of Days. For none can compare to your matchless worth. Sing unto the Ancient of Days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne and worship you. Be exalted, O God, and your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days.
Let's do Your Kingdom Reigns again.
Your kingdom shall reign over all the earth. Sing unto the Ancient of Days. For none can compare to your matchless worth. Sing unto the Ancient of Days. Your kingdom shall reign over all the earth. Sing unto the
Festival of Hope. When is the Festival of Hope, everybody? 22nd. I've had a couple people say they would be interested to help out with the kids. If you are interested in helping out with the kids, I need to let them know soon. So let me know, and I will get your info to Paul Lintern, who's heading that up. We also have, they're going to be collecting school supplies and art supplies the coming on the 16th. So please bring your supplies in before the 16th, and that will get delivered there. Help out people. Our community celebration is going to be August 29th, Saturday, August 29th, 5:30 to 8 p.m. So Kay is the person. So we have a different Kay today, Kay Vega in place of Kay Berry. Talk to her if you want to get tickets and get registered for that. We have also that dance workshop coming up on the September 12th, Saturday, September 12th. So talk to Debbie or Angel. So Debbie, would you stand up just so people can see you? Yes. Is that going to be at your house then, or will it be here? It'll be here. Okay. There's no cost for that. Just need to let you know so you can be ready. So don't just show up. Please let Debbie know so she has enough of everything that she needs. And Angel as well. So. Has anyone here ever heard of Keith Green? Do you know Keith Green? I see a number of hands. He's kind of back in the day. Do you remember that one song by Keith Green? And I don't know the title of it. Maybe the title is what I'm saying, but the line goes, "You can run to the end of the highway and not find what you're looking for." Who here has run to almost the end, or run the highway for a while, and you didn't find what you were looking for? The world makes promises, right? And you look at successful people, you know, and you always, it's funny, I've seen these interviews with people that make a lot of money. How much will be enough? Just a little more. But you make billions of dollars. Just a little more. You have more than this whole town could live on for 100 years. I just need a little more. So what success is, think about how you think of success. What would be success for you? Think about that. Some might say, well, raising the family, seeing grandkids, and I think that's success. Well, that's a good thing. That's not bad. Providing for your family, that's not a bad thing to do. God's estimation, what is success? We're going to be looking at that today. You know, this is a sobering passage in Matthew 7, 21 through 23. You know, what if you thought you were doing so much for God, but you were actually missing the boat? That's what we see in this passage. People at the end of time saying, "Lord, Lord, didn't we? And he says these hard words that are confusing to us. He says, "I never knew you. Away from me, you lawless people." That would not be fun to hear. That would not be something I would want to hear at the end. You know, a lot of us would rather hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That would be one of my measures of success. If he was to say that, I would feel like that's what I want to hear. "Not depart from me. So if I was to summarize these two verses, make sure you run after the right thing. So Ashley, if you could bring that up. Make sure you run after the right things. So Robin Barnes is going to come up and read this passage for us from the English Standard Version. So Robin, come on up.
John 7:21-23. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.
Summarizes passages, ideas, we see two areas that are important to consider, knowing Jesus and doing God's will. So let's look at the first important thing to run after. Make sure you run after the right things by knowing Jesus. These short illustrations at the end of the Sermon on the Mount are summarizing the whole sermon. There's several of them, so we're kind of honing in on each one. But I encourage you to look at all of them for the totality of what they are. But we're kind of focusing in on one. These people that seem to be doing great things for God, but he says, I never knew you. Sometimes we can know a lot about someone, but we don't know them. Maybe you like a certain sports figure. Back in my day, people liked Michael Jordan. They called him the GOAT. Greatest of all time, right? So you might have known his stats, watched all the games the Bulls had, but I wouldn't say I don't know Michael Jordan. I know about him. If I saw him on the street, he would say, I don't know you. Have you ever had someone that was famous and you actually met them? Has anyone ever had that? Now, if you go up to them and you start gushing, they may be kind, but they don't know you, right? They're going to be like, okay, this is a stranger. But you don't feel like a stranger to them. You know a lot about them. Or maybe you follow someone, a podcast or something else, and then you run into them, and you've heard their thoughts for years and years, so you feel like you know them, like they're your friend, but they're not really your friend because they don't know you. You know a lot about them. You know, Jesus is talking about that here. He doesn't want people that are fans. He wants followers. A follower is someone that spends time with someone. Disciples followed Jesus. They weren't just fans. There were times when he said hard things. Like I heard Andy say, where are we to go? You have the words of life. And if you remember the story behind that, that was when he would say, eat my flesh and drink my blood. And everyone's like, what are you saying? You know, and everyone leaves. And Jesus says to the disciples, are you going to leave me too? And they're like, we got nothing. You're it. We know that. But we don't get you. What you said really blew us out of the water. I don't know. They weren't just fans. They were followers. Fans stick around when things are good. So are you a follower of Jesus? One commentator says it this way. In the context of the whole, it's possible to be incredibly active in Christianity and have all the beliefs and even emotions and not actually be on the rock. That's a frightening statement. You know, these people, turn your Bible again, look at this passage. Like, they say, Lord, Lord, that's like emotional. Like, we say something twice. They have emotions. They're calling him the right thing, Lord. They're like, we're trying to do stuff in your name. It's not even our name. And he's saying, I never knew you. Think about this for a moment. The most important thing is not what you have done for Jesus, but that you know Jesus. So do you know him? Do you know him? And this word for know is a very intimate know, kind of like that song the worship team sang, leaning up against him, knowing him, communion with him, relationship. What does it mean to know Jesus? It means you followed him. You talked. us some insight. How does that happen for you? I'm sure some here know him that way. All right, you're there. Can you hand this over to him?
So the Paul saying to pray without ceasing, when I was younger, I thought, how could you possibly do that, to never stop praying? But I came to realize what that meant was God is right there with you. He's always there. And I have been talking to the Lord for decades, just like somebody is sitting right next to me, and he's always there. So I talk to him in the car. I talk to him in the grocery store. When I lose something, I talk about how I've lost it. When I'm upset, I talk to him all day long.
Obvious one is to read the Bible, but I feel like you can't just like read the Bible just to check it off the list of your things to do. You know, you have to read it with the intention of understanding, with the desire to understand. You have to ask the Lord to help you understand it before you read it, and then pray. And I know when my kids were teenagers, young teenagers or tweens, they really desired to hear the Lord's voice, and they didn't. And they're like, I don't get it. Why can't I hear him? And it's so very much just, I mean, we can say we want something, but we show that we want something by what we do. So when you want to know the Lord, you sit in and you pray with intention. You pray using his own words in scripture, and you be silent before the Lord and listen. And if it doesn't happen today, then you do it again tomorrow, right? And you do it again the next day, and you don't stop, because that's, I mean, like I said, we can say one thing, but we show a thing by what we do. I feel like it's a bit of a plug, but I feel like it's true. The tools that we've been developing for the discipleship group, well, they really help. The Bible reading tool has really focused me on really, okay, Lord, what is it exactly you want me to get out of this piece of scripture? I don't want to just read three chapters just because it's, you know, it's good medicine. I want to hear what you have to say to me. And then the prayer tool just has really helped me. Oh, do I really want the Lord's will? Yes, yes, I do. Yes, I do. Lord, please let your will be done on earth as it is.
Talking about kind of jogged something in my mind. The other day I was reading in story. I saw this story where the woman who had the issue of blood, she reached out to take a hold of Jesus' garment because she was looking for healing. And as I was reading that, and Jesus stopped and he said, "Who touched me?" And like the disciples are going, "Are you kidding me? There's people pressing all over you touching you. What do you mean?" And he said, "No, someone touched me, and I perceived power going out from me." And so that sentence, that statement, just really arrested me, and I had to go digging, and I was really drawn to the word touch. And when I looked at the word touch, it wasn't touch like just touch, tap on somebody. It was to attach oneself to. And so when we're looking for the Lord, and we're looking to know him, when we're looking to get a healing from him or something like that, it's like we kind of need to be like a barnacle. We just attach and hang on and not let go. We're attaching ourselves to him, not in a casual way, but just, I'm not letting go. I'm hanging with everything I've got. I'm hanging on to him. So that really spoke to my heart, that intentionality, like Marie was talking about, and that persistence and that determination, that we just are really grabbing him. Anyway, that just really spoke to me.
Good. Over that way, Katie.
I don't read many books two times or even three times, but there's a book called Practice. But it was just really refreshing to know that God has a plan for each of our days, and it's not going to necessarily keep us from doing the things that we really need to do, you know? His will is for us to do those needed things. That's our purpose. That's part of our purpose for being here. But there are so many other little things. And you know what? Wouldn't you know, I'm driving down the road, kind of in front of Steak and Shake down there, and there's a guy with no legs sitting there asking for money. And I'm like, and I was on my way home, and I'm like, okay, Lord, you know? And I talked to him for a little bit, and I just, it's just interesting, you know? We just have to stop and look and see what God has for us. I just want to say one other thing. Bob used to say, there are a lot of good things you could do. There are a lot of good things out there in the name of Jesus that you can do. But God doesn't ask us to do all those things. You know, he might have said, you know, I don't want you to give money to this person, or I don't want you to, you know. We need to be about the things that God has for us to do, because we could never, you know, we could never stop doing every good thing that comes.
Fifty-six years ago this spring is when the Lord saved me. And so in those years, I've been seeking him and knowing him. But in this past year, you know, the great commandment, love the Lord your God with all your, say it, heart, soul, mind, and strength. I realized in this past year, I've been loving him with my mind. And I've been loving him with my body and my strength. But because of some things that happened in my childhood growing up, my heart grew numb. And that was my survival strategy for dealing with pain. But in this past year, as the Lord has used the counselor's group and Keys to Freedom to unlock and expose that pain, the Lord has unnumbed my heart, and so now I can love him with all my heart and soul and strength. And as I've shared before, I have 45 journals of my writing, my feelings and thoughts to God. This past year, that has deepened, and I can actually feel the love and the presence of God in ways that I never have before, because my heart was so numb. So I just kind of challenge and encourage you. Are you loving him with your whole heart
several hours again, trying to deal with a corporate issue in a store where I had paid cash, and they could not get the corporate people to release the money since February, and I've been in this store. So each time, I mean, they're just little teeny bops, you know, young kids and things like that, but each time the Lord really challenges me to thank God for each one of them, and instead of, oh gosh, there's that lady again and it hasn't happened because I'm mean and I'm mad, they call me the Irish lady. They're like, oh my gosh, it's been 800 years, nothing yet. I'm like, nothing yet. But do we smell like Jesus? Do we act like Jesus? Do they know that I love them? They've all been invited to my house, even though this issue is happening. Like, there has to be a difference. That's, you can absolutely show people Jesus without ever, like, cracking the book open or freaking them out. I've been trained to do that in Ireland. They know I love Jesus, but, you know, and I mean, I have no idea. I, you know, a lot of you know my story. We needed baroons today for dancing. I wish I would have brought my Irish drum. Because when we have all of these things come down, it's very easy to be distracted. But to keep our eyes on, I know God's got an agenda for that entire store. Because I walk in and they're like, oh, Irish lady, has it happened yet? No, not yet. But that's the thing, is that to have that, that's just one example. Do people see Jesus or do they see you?
All right, Tom's going to be our last sharing.
Yeah, I want to say it really should be a relationship. And, you know, when Judea was talking about it, it's a regular conversation that you have in your mind with Jesus. That's a relationship. It should be a dialogue and not a monologue. And then, can you imagine if you were in a close relationship and you wanted to talk, but you never got a word in edgewise? You were all, you put they were, your other spouse or the other party in the relationship just never let you talk. Well, that's kind of like, let me say it. That's what Jesus wants to speak to us, and that brings in what Marie said. I thought that was so good about, we want to spend time in his word. We want to ask Jesus to speak to us in his word. So Jesus speaks through his word. He also speaks in that still soft voice in our hearts. So that encourages dialogue and not monologue. And so the relationship in knowing Jesus is a real relationship. It's not about just knowing, like we know the alphabet or we know that we live in Ohio. No, it's a personal relationship where we care and we value, and it's important what Jesus said, what Jesus did. So it's a relationship. And so
I'm sure there's others that would like to share. That's a great opportunity to do that in your circle groups, where you have circle groups that meet after to process things and to share. So, you know, I think you might also say some of these things. I've heard prayer, I've heard scripture, meditation, solitude, spending time alone with God, silence, listening to God, serving the least of these. How many passages do we see? I was just reading one this morning, you know, how you treat the little children, how you treat the least of these. There's another parable, you know, when did we see you in prison or hungry or naked, right? So we see Jesus, we know Jesus, but how we treat the least of these. So those are aspects of it. Are you finding Jesus? Playing I Spy, right? Where is Jesus at? What's he saying? I was listening to a podcast this week, and the guy said, are you just praying for God to do things, or are you praying for communion? And that's where the Lord first half is just focused on him. Daddy in charge. Father in heaven. Hallowed be your name. You're different. Honoring. How is God different than all that's around us? You know, your will be done. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Focusing on that aspect. So, are you praying for communion or just for God to do stuff for you? There's a time to pray for God to do stuff. I'm not saying that's bad, but it's balanced, right? So, do you know? Are you running after knowing Jesus? The second, it's important to make sure we're running after the right things by knowing Jesus. Second, make sure you run after the right things by doing God's will. Verse 21 says this, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Well, you might say, well, it seems pretty important to do God's will. And one thing I notice here, this is interesting, this is the first time Jesus says, my Father in heaven. Before this, he's saying, our Father, your Father. And he says this now after this in Matthew, so that's something to note. He's basically saying, how I am interpreting the Father is God's will for you. So what I say is God's will. We could think, Katie was saying, about, there's lots of good things we can do, but what is Jesus saying to do? What is Jesus saying God's will is? Well, let's look back in the Sermon on the Mount. What have I been emphasizing over and over in the Sermon on the Mount? The Beatitudes, okay. Someone was listening. If you're saying, what is God's will? Look at the Beatitudes. That's God's will for you. That you are poor in spirit. That you say, God, I got nothing. That you mourn your sin. You mourn the sin of others. You feel that. That you are meek and humble. That you're hungry and thirsty for what? Righteousness. Right relationship with God. Right relationship with others. That you are pure in heart or merciful. I think merciful is the next one. That you're merciful. You give mercy as you've received mercy. That you're pure in heart. You don't have guile. What you are is what you are. Your integrity, right? And then it moves to the culmination that you are what? A peacemaker. That's God's will. And then he just unpacks that the rest of the sermon. I remember I was younger, and I don't know if it's coming from a bad spot or not, but I wanted to do great things for God. Has everybody wanted to do great things for God? And I remember reading the missionary stories and Hudson Taylor. It was like, oh, I want to be like Hudson Taylor. I want to be like this person. And I guess it's nice to have heroes. It's nice to want to do great things, but if I was to really dig down, why did I want to do great things? Was this about me or about God? Think about that. Because that's kind of what these people are dealing with here. Lord, didn't we do all this really amazing stuff? Prophesy in your name. We cast out demons. And then what does it say? Many mighty works. We tend to be attracted to that stuff. We chase the Holy Spirit around from church to church, seeing where are the mighty works of God being done. But he's saying, actually, my mighty work is peacemaking. It's a little bit quieter. Now, this stuff will happen, but is that what you're going to do? Think about when the disciples came back, when he sent them out, they said, we saw Satan falling from the sky. We were casting out demons. And what did Jesus say? Don't rejoice that the demons are submitting. What did he say? Rejoice that what? Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know me. So what do we regard as success? You know, we can do that. We can say success is like a powerful move of the Spirit. It's great to have that, but success is knowing Jesus. Success is loving your sister or brother, your sibling, that little brother, right? Being a peacemaker in your family, at your work. With your neighbors, it may seem like boring stuff. That's success. Being a peacemaker. that pinnacle of God's will for us. So the question for us, are we regularly living in light of and in the midst of the Beatitudes? And what would it look like for us to do that? I want you to discuss that in your groups. What does it look like to live like this? God's measure of success is quite different from the world. You'll see that over and over. Paul says, I rejoice in my weakness, not my strength. For in my weakness, God's power is made manifest. You know, we're going to be finishing up the Sermon on the Mount, and then the next few years, we're going to be going back and going through all of Matthew. We're going to be camping out here in Matthew for a while. Because we want to study, imitate, and share Jesus. And the way he does stuff is so different than we do it. So different than the world does it. His measure of success is so different. It's something we have to keep reminding ourselves of over and over, because the world, as Romans 12 says, is constantly trying to squeeze us into its mold. This is what success means. This is what success means. This is what success means. Success is knowing Jesus. God's will is not hidden. It's not some mysterious thing. He's saying, my will for you is you to come poor in spirit and move up that track to being a peacemaker. That's his will. It's not hard. It's not a mystery. The mystery is, how does that work out in the day-to-day? That's where, you know, I was just reading a devotional. It said, God doesn't tell us what he's going to do the next 10 years. Tells us the next step, right? We have to be in this relationship of dependence on him. And sometimes he shows up right at the last minute. How many times have you seen that? You gotta trust him. And he's not gonna make it all clear for the next month even. Just the next step. Following him step by step. Let's pray. Lord, hard word. Help us to look at ourselves. May we not be those that run after the flash, the glitz, but run after knowing you, run after doing your will, being a peacemaker in this world. How we treat the least of these is how we're treating you, Jesus. You called us to take up our cross daily. Stand here at Grace Fellowship. At the end is a benediction. It's a prayer of blessing, and we just hold up our hands, just an act of receiving. And I would encourage you to go to some church, circle church today. We're going to talk over some of the things and share about these things and pray for one another. So hold up your hands. Go for today, running after the right things. Run after knowing Jesus personally and intimately. Run after God's will for